Welcome to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast, where in every episode we explore what is research culture and what should it be. You'll hear thoughts and opinions from a range of contributors to help you change research culture into what you want it to be.
In this podcast episode, we are hearing from Dr. Hema Viswambaran, a senior scientist in cardiovascular and diabetes research at the University of Leeds. I'm Ruth Winden, the Careers with Research consultant. Hema and I have known each other for many years and collaborated on a number of careers projects. We are both working parents, and both of us always wanted a rewarding career and also have children. Over the years, we've had many conversations about that constant juggling act of career and parenthood, even as our children get older and more independent. One conversation led to another, and Hema was keen to share her lived experience as a researcher and a mother to stimulate debate. What is it really like to be a researcher and have children? What challenges have you faced, and what challenges do you still face? And how have you made things work? That's what Hema and I are going to talk about. Welcome, Hema. I am so glad you're with me today.
Thank you, Ruth, for inviting me to share these experiences. And I think it's really important for me to go forward and then really make a difference in the staff's life, especially scientists and also future scientists like the PGRs. So yeah, thank you, Ruth.
You're a role model in so many ways. So let's start with that first question. Can you take us back to the beginning of your career in science? What inspired you and what were your ambitions at the time?
So my journey in science really began from my childhood. I was inspired by my parents themselves. They are brilliant teachers and female scientists in her own respect, my mom. So my ambition has always been to make a difference in the scientific world. And I was quite determined and eager and full of hope to build a future as an accomplished scientist. So it started with my A-levels. I finished that and started work as a teacher, then did my degree in genetics, went to Switzerland to do my PhD, and around 20 years before, I moved from Switzerland to Leeds and joined Professor Mark Carney to work in this BHF-funded project in cardiovascular and diabetes research. So that's how it all started, and I'm still ambitious, and I was quite driven to make living difference in the patients and the people alike.
Yeah, and you know, you are such an enthusiastic researcher and also so interested in all things careers and professional development. So Hema, you had three children, and we have conversations about this. You know, how has parenthood changed your career aspirations? Was there an impact on your career path and maybe even your identity as a scientist?
Yeah, so my baby was born. So I got married late, first of all, because I was so focused on my scientific career. Then I had three children quite closely together. So that has completely changed my direction. The focus shifted from lab work and academic goals to the immediate care of my children and all that is necessary to, you know, for them to perform at school, after school activities and all sorts of things that comes after. So my husband is also an academic at that point. So now he has established his career. So we had to decide between ourselves that who is doing which part of the handling at home and at work. But I held on to my hopes and that willpower, the belief and the conviction that I had that I can do it. So it did change in the sense that I had to decide and keep my values in, you know, in perspective. It has to be clear. So my values is around being a responsible mother, a wife, and also to deliver in the project that I am paid for. So I had these three things in focus, and that was what drives my day-to-day attention and day-to-day decision-making process. So at each pregnancy, I took the maternity leave and I came back. So unlike these days, the maximum that I could take was 6 months. So after 6 months, I came back, joined back the research work. But the career break that I had to take is really the progression, the career progression, the traditional progression from research fellow to senior research fellow, looking for fellowships, becoming a lecturer and academic, and so on. So I had to stay and made an informed decision to stay as a research fellow, which was supported by my line manager, because of my intention and holding on to the values to be a responsible mother, what is required at home and what is required at work, and so on. So that was my career break. I had to put a complete full stop in my career progression physically. So that was the thing that I've done.
So, Hema, you've been a working parent for almost 20 years. What were some of the biggest personal and professional challenges that you faced during that period?
Yeah, so all those years away from the traditional academic track, so I encountered a range of personal and professional challenges, just because of my career momentum, but also the identity that I had to build as a scientist, because recognition and being visible is important in science. And I was in Switzerland at that point, so I often felt isolated, as I mentioned, since my days were centered around caregiving while friends and colleagues continued to progress in their field. So I could only observe this. But the important thing at that point is I've learned from that. I kept learning, observed them, and I've kept learning. Professionally, one major challenge was staying up to date with scientific advances and the technologies behind that. So the pace of change in research was so rapid that being out of the loop for so long, although you are in the lab but not in touch with the progression, was really very daunting. And I also lost touch with professional networks and collaboration, because during my PhD, I used to attend and present at international conferences every year. We have collaborative meetings and smaller seminars. That wasn't happening, and I tend to pass it on to other PhD students or postdocs to deliver on my behalf. So I was completely cut off in terms of networking and the collaborative network that we could build. So juggling family responsibilities was partly self-development is a constant balancing act. So I concentrated on the lab science and publications, and also building the PGRs and the staffs within the group, and we held many little collaborations. And my line manager always supported this. We had a very frequent discussion about what needs to be done, what is required within the group. And I always asked himself if I could start a teaching hours per week. So I constantly made that as my motivation going forward for a better scientific future. So I held that hope and motivations while keeping abreast with what I could do at the moment in the lab.
Yeah, and I know you're someone who's always been keen on her professional development and always engaged, since I've known you here at Leeds, always really engaged with us to learn and grow and yeah, develop obviously as a scientist but also as a colleague. So Hema, you mentioned that you stayed connected, you overcame that sense of isolation as a mother through university professional development programs. That's how we met each other, and we've worked together
Yes.
on these. Can you tell us more about how you engaged with these opportunities and what impact they had on your confidence and your skills? Because that seems to be, in your message, that when you become a working mother, working parent, and you have to change the activities that you can take part in, you feel left out from things. You can't go to the conferences as much as before. That had an
Yeah.
impact on your confidence. How did you set this all up, and how did you make time for all this? Because you had so much on at the time.
Yeah, so although I wasn't able to work full time as a scientist, that I hope, I was determined to stay connected to my academic roots, and I kept my skills sharp by taking advantage of the university's personal development program that was run by SDDU at that point, now is ODNPL. So these programs offered, most importantly, very flexible option, short workshops, online courses, seminars, and that I could fit around my daily lab work. So, for example, I have incubation periods and running an equipment for a certain length of time. So that is when I try to slot this in. So in 1 hour, I could just dash over to the Parkinson court and come back and continue with the work. So every time was filled up, and I used to listen to TED Talks and motivational talks that I tend to do when I'm cooking or cleaning or, the random mundane houseworks in between, for example. So it just kept abreast by developing all sorts of skills that I could develop myself. That includes teaching, coaching, and mentoring, for example, time management. And emotional intelligence was one of the things that I was really hooked on to, and I still do. And then on top of that, I, make sure that I've delivered on all the requirements from my BHF funded projects. And together we could go on and secure the next round of grants and supporting the students and the postdocs going forward. So the social aspect was really important. I engaged with a network of other workshop attendees, for example. We keep up to date what they have done, how I have progressed, and what I have learned. And from one technique of skill set, we developed something else. And I've also used to attend seminars from across the faculty. So when there is a seminar about biomedical engineering, for example, I would go all the way to engineering or food science and so on. So I kept up to date with what is going on across the university, and not only in the research section, also the teaching and scholarship, but also the professional sectors as well.
And I'm glad that our flexible offerings really helped you with that. And yes,
Yes.
HEMA is known across campus. You're one of the best networkers I know at the university, that's for sure. I mean, even listening to you makes me think, wow, so much to do. And there is something about also, the support you've had. You've
Yeah.
been really proactive in that, haven't you? I know that you had many conversations with your line manager. And do you want to tell us a little bit more
Yeah.
about that? Because that's often the critical point, isn't it? What support do you get from your immediate line manager? And you have been very active in that regard and sought out conversations, haven't you?
Yes, I think one of the major learning from this journey is communication and network. So our line managers has got all sorts of responsibilities. As going over 20 years, it can develop from a PI to, right all the way to VC, for example. So it's important that you communicate your intention, and I made sure that he is always up to date on the personal part of myself and also in the professional. So he knows exactly where I am at every point in time. I update him with all the activities that I take part in. And also I use the staff review, for example, every single year. And you make sure that your career progression or your challenges in life come across very clearly to him. So that has helped him to support me in the way that that is required. So that's what helped. So I also carved out time every single evening as a reflective time. So before bed, I'll sit down and take note of what has happened through the day, and I see where I have gone wrong or made differently, or how I can improve myself for the next day. Then I plan for the whole day that is coming up, because time was crucial. I know I had to leave no matter what happens in the lab at a certain point in time. So I had to go back, pick up my kids, cook, and then do the taxi rounds of all sorts of activities between the three of them, sometimes even for my husband to cover. So for that, I had to take that time back every evening, and then it become a routine, and then it become quicker and quicker, and I could do the self-reflection, how I could improve, and what are the skills I need for the next round. So, for example, okay, I've done this skill set. Now I find this is me missing, because I've observed some other colleagues who has got that skill. Okay, how did you get that? And to my knowledge, ODPL has got almost everything we need. We just need to make that effort to find it and fit it into the day. But I don't say that it is easy. It was very difficult. And I know some of my colleagues say, oh, it's hard to get you into the coffee room for 10 minutes because you're either running for this course or that course. But it was really worth it. Yeah. So that's how I kept up with the relationship with the line manager so that we could get the best out of the research as well as the personal life.
Is there anything that made or would have made your return easier? Because I think that's often the crucial point is, the going away, going on paternity leave, maternity leave, and then coming back and finding your feet, especially as you say, science is moving so fast
Yeah.
and, the worry about, am I up to date? What do I need to catch up on?
Yeah, so this mentoring and coaching has been so valuable in my journey back in academia. So what I got from there is the tailored, empathetic guidance that acknowledges the unique challenges that we are facing coming back after a long career break. Now, when I say long career break, mine is a bit atypical because I've been there at the university. In timeline, there is no break, but in my career progression, it was a complete standstill up to last year when my third child has already progressed to secondary school. The eldest one is at the university. And I thought, now is my time. And we have every provision given by the university at every level that we could tap in and make that those decisions going forward. So the mentors that not only understand the academic landscape, so when we find the right match, in during our social life, we can see how it fits, their journey to yours. So they appreciated the complexities of balancing the family caregiving and the career ambitions. So I had not only one, it depends at which point in time, I had several. So now I have another type or a set of mentors who is going to take me to the next stage. It is slow. But when you savor it, you understand every step of the way that the journey is a learning experience. And what is crucial that I find is that you have to take their advice on board and do it. Because most often during my own coaching and mentoring services, when I'm helping and advising other people, what I've noticed is they take the advice and then it stops there. Not deliberately, I know that, because it is hard to make that decision to say, yes, I'm going to do this, but that was helpful. So that to take their advice and take their experiences and put it into action in our own life. So they listen actively and they validate my experience. They provide actionable steps how to go forward. And that is what made a difference in my life to take that motivation or to take that confidence to progress even after 18 years.
I know, Hema, you were keen to talk more about your personal, your lived experience and the personal and emotional challenges of combining a career as a scientist and parenthood. And for you as a listener, you might wonder, why are you not talking about the structural issues? Because there is the individual, but there's also, what our employers are offering, what is commonly offered in the sector. And for that conversation, I wanted to, point out that in a couple of weeks' time, we're doing exactly that, where we'll look at the structural issues of combining a career and parenthood, because we're so lucky to have Elizabeth Faulkner and Cathal Rogers coming onto the podcast, who have done their own research piece as parents into the provision of support. So I just wanted to make that clear. Hema and I, we have a lot of conversations about the structural challenges, but in this podcast episode, I think we just wanted to see, how do you deal with all of this on a personal level? And I really couldn't think of a better person than Hema to speak about it, because she is so, committed to exploring how you can cope, what develop, what coping strategies you can find, and also, what you need to do yourself to manage all this. And as a parent who had similar struggles, I understand, we all have slightly different ways of dealing with these things. But Hema, you have some very clear ideas about how you still and have in the past dealt with these emotional and personal challenges. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
So really, the biggest challenges I faced when returning to my academic career as a career progression is really a mix of emotional and practical challenges. And when I say practical, it's really with reflecting about it myself. Like I said, when I do that in the evening on a daily basis, you begin to see what need to be done. So emotionally, self-doubt and the fear of not being able to catch up with my peers really weighed heavily on me, and it still is in a way. So the long break made me question whether I still belong to the scientific community. Can I keep up with this rapid pace of research advancement? Now we have innovation and commercialization. That's another new avenue that I found out. And it's really both exciting and actually quite opening up new doors as well. But at the same time, this feeling, can I do it? Can I not do it? Is that, am I cut off for this? Is still always there. So practically juggling family responsibilities, especially when my children, especially the eldest one, was born premature. And that took a lot of emotional and headspace out from research, thinking this is more important, but I need to keep up doing my scientific career as well. So that was a really big drain. But reflecting it on a practical way, what can I do when managing the time and the childcare and the access to the resources was difficult, but it didn't go without a strong support network. So I have the network, when I say network, with my husband, but mainly among friends and colleagues. You know, we talk and learn from each other, and that was so crucial. So to overcome these barriers, I deliberately took small steps and I kept my dreams alive, imagining it. I'm also a positive coach, so you know, motivational coach, if you wanted to say it. So that is what I applied to myself, and you kept on with that belief, and I developed a routine. When you have a routine, as children, even they learn the best when you have a routine, and we too as adults need to have some sort of routine. When we have that, the psychology behind it is that you know what's going to happen and you know what worked. And that's where you slowly build that confidence and give yourself that time. I sought out mentors and coaches, and Ruth, you're exceptional on that. So I owe you a big one, definitely. So that is what that kept me going. So understanding that situation and providing the encouragement and the practical advice. So the flexible working arrangement with the university, when they first launched it, I took it immediately, discussed with my line manager. That helped as well. And that is where you get that routine between a balanced work life and a family life. So I never needed to take the work home, because anyway, when I get home, there's no way of doing it. But it was like building a career after a break is like a marathon and not a sprint. And I learned how to give myself that time to do it.
And also it helps. You are such an early bird, aren't you, Hima? I know. When my older son was born, and I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do 2 hours of, and I got more done in those 2 hours, before I got him up, and then I drove to the nursery and all the rest, And looking back, I think, how on earth did I do this? But I was 28 years younger, and somehow I managed it. But it's often, finding what is right for yourself and for some, the thought of, oh my God, getting up that early is totally undoable, and they will have their own ways. Hima, what is your advice for parents returning to work after a career break?
So anyone returning to academia after a significant break of any sort, when I said break, any sort at all, either academically or mentally, especially those who are balancing multiple responsibilities, the key advice is to really be patient and kind to yourself. Understand the strength and even your weaknesses. When I say weaknesses, maybe a lesser strength. So understand that returning is a process that really takes the time. And that process may be slow at times, but it is a powerful teacher. The experiences are powerful teachers, and it pushes us forward. So it's crucial to actively seek out and take the advantages of the personal development opportunities, which is what we are all about at the university, training, workshop courses. Now we have LinkedIn Learning courses, we have Coursera. We have so much valuable resources. It's just fitting that time in. And networking is so important. Like Ruth, I've learned this from you, and also part of the commercialization route, LinkedIn is so valuable. So we have to build that strong network support connection that's so important. Mentors or coaches or peers that understand that our unique challenges can offer different sort of guidance and encouragement. So we say experience is something of a really good teacher, but we can't experience everything. We can learn from the others and learn what we should do and maybe learn what we shouldn't do. I think that's really important to understand, and that will help us to keep that balance. You mentioned about me getting up early, you're getting up early, but then it goes back to routine. So once you set a routine, taking the time to find what routine fits you, it'll become so easy. And then you don't think, you just deliver it. That's when you begin to see the differences and your progress. So most importantly, believe in the value that our experiences give outside academia. And those skills are developed during our break time, you know, when we take that break, the resilience, multitasking, problem solving. We do things without thinking, and we do things without realizing actually we are good at it. And that is what gave us, you know, the cutting edge where, you know, we can perform better than those who haven't taken that break. So keep your passion alive, set realistic goals, you celebrate small wins. I have my own way of celebrating small wins. And that's also something I do at the end of the day, rather than thinking what goes wrong, what I have achieved today. That's something I've learned from my mom. She always say, go back and see one or two things that you have made a difference in somebody else's life. That's fantastic, because success is different. For a baby, a success is maybe from crawling to walking or standing, and it's different. We cannot compare. I don't judge, and I don't compare. That's what would be making a meaningful and successful and fulfilling career forward.
I can so see what a coach you are, Hema, and you're applying the coaching to yourself. I mean, what resonates with me is this, you know, be kind to yourself. Because I think one thing, and we won't go into this because otherwise it will be a very long episode, is, you know, dealing with guilt. Because you always feel when you're at that stage, that really frantic stage, the early years, you always feel
Yes.
like, I'm not doing enough as a mother or parent, and I'm not doing enough in my job, you know. And we are, you know, we do it all, but
Yes.
it feels different, doesn't it? And
Yeah.
the yeah, the being kind to yourself. And for me, it's also, we're all so different. For some of you, the thought of getting up so early as Hema and I do might be really not the kind of thing that works for you, and that's absolutely fine. I think we all, you know, we experiment and we find ways of doing it.
Yes.
And for me, and that's the reason also why we wanted to have this on the podcast, is the normalizing the conversations, because you know there are many colleagues who are parents, and we're all loving it, and we're also having challenges, and we can learn from each other. And also knowing, you know, I'm not the only one who's struggling with this, or I'm not the only one who doesn't know what to do. Because that's the journey as a parent, isn't it? So thank you so much for being so open, Hema. And I just wanted to ask you for, you know, your wisdom. If there was one tip you would give to other people thinking about having a family, or people who are already parents and are straddling the career and the parenting piece, you know, is there one tip you can give people? What would make sense for them to consider?
So one thing I could suggest is, which I did, is really to find the like-minded people who's got a similar kind of experience. And when you talk to these people, especially those who have successfully come out from, to the other end, there's a lot of things that in the past that they would share with you, and then you would reflect that upon yourself, and you can see how I can apply in my life based on what they have done. And imagining and keeping your goal clear and your values constant, and I think that would really take you across, you know, every step of the way, those small steps to come to the other side. So we need that support, that network, and it doesn't have to be everybody that you meet. You would see and feel immediately who you latch on to. I mean, you are who you are with. We are like a culmination of five people that you hang around with throughout the day. So if there is something that you've learned from other people with a lived experience of their own, and I think that would be a very, very powerful tool to take us across this any sort of career break. That's
Thank
how
you
I would
so
say.
much, Hema. And, we've had many conversations over the years. And as our children have grown, we were also able to help each other out. And,
Yes.
sometimes it's just having someone who can totally understand. We say, oh, today is a horrible day because it didn't start well, or I'm
Yes.
tired, or I'm really worried about this, or, and just knowing that there's someone there who understands and says, yeah, I get you, I hear you, and it's okay. And we'll get through this. So, Hema,
Yeah.
thank you so much for giving me your time today. And just to reiterate, we're having another conversation about parenting and careers with Elizabeth Faulkner and Cathal Rogers coming up later in November 2025. And they have even published a research paper based on the inquiries they have made. And that will be another way that we can discuss, how do you manage your career and parenthood, and what can institutions do to support you? So thank you very much, and thank you, Hema.
Thank you, Ruth. Real pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss out on our brand new episodes. And if you're enjoying the discussions, give us some love by dropping a 5-star rating and written review, as it helps other research culturists find us. And please share with a friend and show them how to subscribe. Thanks for listening, and here's to you and your research culture.